And welcome to the podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you completely free. So if you want to show any type of support whatsoever, we ask you to do a few things. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. After you do that, you go to Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@comesnaturalpod.
Follow us there. Then you head on over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and review the podcast. And then make sure you tell all your friends to do the same. Cody?
Welcome to Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike,
I'm Cody, and in this corner, our yes! special guest today is
me.
Oh, holy
kill. Oh, fuck that up.
You
had one job.
It was pretty good.
One job.
Not bad?
It's not bad.
I appreciate the intro.
You're welcome. You want me to do like a buffer, brother, so.
Yeah, well, that's about as buffer Cody as you buffer get. Now.
Ah. Cody buffer, yeah. The stepbrother.
Yeah.
Fuck. Next time, you gotta give like height and weight. First name.
Please don't give weight.
Just be like, and in that corner, sitting for the first time, we have Taj Stewart Cook, weighing in at roughly how much he weighs plus that chair.
I'll take that.
That's all I got, really. Sitting about 4 foot two.
Sitting about 4 foot.
He's sitting, he's not standing.
No, I don't get it.
Of course you don't.
What would... if Bruce Buffer was introducing you, like you're fighting, like you're in a fight.
I love how you laugh when you say he's fighting.
And he's introducing you. It's Cody Barry. Blank Sullivan. What's the blank?
What's my nickname?
Yeah. No, blank. That is his nickname.
Oof, that's a tough one.
The Lumberjack?
No.
Cody Lumbersexual Sullivan.
Lumbersexual?
Ooh, Lumbersexual.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's plaid. It's flannel. He's lumber curious. He's
like he's done it, but he's not fully committed to it.
He's not going to be mad if he never does it again,
but he's always open to go back to it.
First off, if any of you ever worn actual flannel,
hot.
It is, so you would not be wearing it in August Phoenix. In Arizona,
yeah,
especially Phoenix, because I would have a stroke by now.
You haven't already? There it is.
His eyes all droopy.
I guess you're really good because I like them.
Side note, this is not an offensive podcast.
I was being strokey, not retarded.
Call it what you want.
Same thing, really, at this point. Yeah. Oh, so... I promised from last week we were going to talk about Fantastic Four today.
Yes. Because the reviews are out.
Yep.
And they're bad.
The reviews are horrible. Terrible.
And the numbers are out.
What was that?
They are also terrible.
9% on Rotten Tomatoes?
9% last time I looked on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's awful. The original Fantastic Four movies have a higher percentage. Yes. Like somewhere around 23%.
Which is total horseshit.
I saw a meme that said Howard the Duck is now not the worst Marvel movie.
Very true.
Howard the Duck wasn't the worst Marvel movie as soon as the first Fantastic Four came out.
And definitely not after the second one.
Fair enough.
Right.
So?
Which is another movie that I actually like, the Howard the Duck.
I liked it knowing what it is, though.
Well, yeah, you go into it knowing that it's going to be awful, and then you come out pleasantly surprised that it's less awful.
Yeah. Just really weird. I remember watching it as a kid and being, there were scenes in that
movie you didn't
that
understand.
There were not kid scenes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and there's nudity.
Mean, which I was fine with.
You mean the duck sex scene?
Yeah.
Aside from that.
What were you going to say?
Nope.
What were you going to say?
Nope. Okay. All right, so back to Fantastic Four.
All right, so to go over the ratings real quick. So 2005, Fantastic Four, the first one came out.
All
right. It received a 27%.
Are these users or critics?
It's critics. The tomato rating always goes by critics. It doesn't factor in users. Fantastic Four. So 2 years later, 2007, Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer comes out and actually does better.
That's surprising.
37%. Yeah. So 10% more.
Nice.
We jump down the line 8 years later to the newest Fantastic Four. I'm not even going to call it Josh Trank's Fantastic Four.
Welcome
but the newest
2015.
One, 2015. It's at 9%. 9%.
Basically 30% worse than number 2.
Yeah, basically.
That's...
I mean, technically 28, but we're not going to split hairs. Go ahead. Anyways, what are you going to say?
Here's my problem with that. One, clearly that's wrong. Like, everyone, I would imagine, agrees that this one was way better than the other two.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So there's that. And second, the critic reviews out the gate were unfair. Right off the get-go, were way unfair. And then popular opinion jumped in, and they weren't used to... Like I was saying after we watched the movie, I feel like people were expecting the Avengers and got a Ridley Scott movie instead.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it felt. And does this one have its problems? Yes, absolutely. Like, I would love to see what Josh Trank's final cut would have been, because I think he's a good filmmaker. And I feel like while watching this movie, I could see what he was trying to do and what his, like, vision was for the movie.
Obviously,
and
then that you never could happened.
Obviously, tell where the studio came in and said, nope, that doesn't work. We got to do this. And like, there's so many things in there that where the movie goes awry are so blatantly obvious a studio call. Like, there's yeah. no other explanation for
it. They cut out, what, 45 minutes from his?
Almost yeah.
I thought it was
from,
almost an hour.
From his first cut. I'm sure Trank would have had that shed it down a little bit more before release. But his original cut was going to be way long. Yeah, so had he been allowed to edit it, I think it would have been better. But even with that being said, even with the movie exactly what it is right now, it's not a comic book movie like people are used to. It's a sci-fi movie with comic book characters.
And it's still not worse than the first two.
And it's not... It's pretty good, dude. Like, it's... Like I said, it has its flaws, for sure. But in terms of an origin movie, a start-off to what they were hoping to be a franchise, and the fact that it's basically a different genre than what people were expecting, I think the reviews are totally unfair. And I think, like... I honestly think this movie down the road will find its audience, and people will reflect back on it in 10 years and be like, you know what? It really wasn't that bad. Like, it was pretty good. Like, once they realize it's going to take somebody else is going to come around and do a comic book movie, like a sci-fi movie. And then, like, they're going to let the director actually direct it and the editors edit it properly. And people are going to like it. And then they'll come back and look at this one and be like, okay, I saw what they're trying to do.
Well, I hope it's the second one, because it's already been announced that they actually are going to do a second movie. So I would hope that they stay in the same tone as the first one.
There's no way.
You don't think they do?
There's no way Fox keeps it the same tone.
Problem is that they're obviously not going to bring back Trank.
And no.
That's a problem in and of itself.
Plus, he wouldn't come back after the way he was
treated. So. Yeah.
But then what sort of tone do you think that they go with?
Avengers.
So it's a bit more...
Guarantee it.
Lighthearted.
They're going to have color in their costumes. They're going to have... It's going to be more just... Like, there wasn't a lot of action in this movie. Like I said, it was more of a sci-fi thriller, Ridley Scott-type movie. And so that didn't lend itself... Much like Alien, not a whole lot of action in that.
Mm-hmm.
But Aliens, like, if they wanted to do it properly, I feel like I obviously don't know if this is intentional or not, but I felt like if everything goes right, this is Josh Trank's Alien, and then Fantastic Four would be his Aliens, you know, a little bit more action, picked up the tempo a little bit, made everything a little bit faster, and less of a thriller, more of an action movie. Which I think would have been cool, mm-hmm. but no, there's no way they keep the same tone of it. They're going to be so scared to keep it a dark sci-fi movie. It's going to be a long time before you see a comic book movie try that again, for sure. Hmm. I'm scared it's going to seem more like Avengers, but the problem is you can't. Avengers had such a long build-up, and mm-hmm. it was pieced together so patiently that the reason it worked. The first one, anyway, is because the anticipation was already there. Everyone was established. You knew all the characters. You were ready for it. Mm-hmm. Like, they made you wait, what, 6 years or something like that?
Maybe we should from just Iron Man request to Avengers. That Fox give up the rights to
Fox. So somewhere around there. So as soon as you saw Nick Fury at the end of Iron Man,
you knew you're like, coming.
Holy shit, there's going to be an Avengers movie.
And you were ready for it.
And they paced you for it. I don't think... I don't want to say it won't, but I don't see a way where the second one is is there's no way it keeps the same tone. It might be good, but it's not going to be the same tone for sure.
And that sucks. Because I would really want to see something in the same tone as this movie. I couldn't say I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I don't think it's the... I don't think it was like Josh Trank's fault. I honestly do think it was the studio's fault. Because a lot of the problems that I had with it are problems that probably were solved in the time that was cut out. My biggest problems were the fact that Ben Grimm just seemed to be kind of thrown in there. You know, at the beginning of the movie, there was literally no development on his character. You just have him being Rich Reed's friend by accident, really. And then he literally does nothing with his life. I mean, for me, story-wise, I would rather have him like join the military or something and just come back that way instead of just being woken up in the middle of the night living in his
same
family's
room.
Same
room, basically,
you know, a junkyard, and that's how he's introduced.
They could have made him a cop,
yeah, something,
you know,
that's,
so he's
that's
not even
saying.
Gone, like he's still there,
yeah.
But even like more so than that, it almost feels like, so there's the, you're going through the movie. For people who haven't seen it, spoilers. They go to what they call Zero Planet, right?
Planet Zero.
Planet Zero.
Planet
yes.
Zero. So that's where the accident happens. They come back, huge mess everywhere. You see Johnny literally just laying there on fire. Mm-hmm. And like the accident, it hints at exactly what the powers are going to be. And it cuts to them in like a secret lab, like military base, mm-hmm. where they're doing tests, and it's kind of creepy, like how the tests are being done, and it's so dark and grimy, and it's a cool scene. And then Reed escapes because they're not like it doesn't seem like they're gonna let him go. Like that's the impression you get, like they're not getting let go.
Yeah.
So he escapes, runs away. And then it cuts 1 year later. And as soon as it cuts that 1 year later, like looking back on it, I'm like, this is where they lost Trank.
And that's the second part of the movie that I hated, because they could have done so much more in the 1 year later. Even if they treated it like Edward Norton's Hulk movie, where he's out in the wilderness, he's trying to find the cure for himself and for his friends, because that's what he promises Ben, I'm going to come back and help. I'm going to come back and help. Yeah. So I would have loved to have seen more strife on his side, just a montage that could be cut with a training montage.
Yeah, we were talking, all the characters at that point should have gotten some type of montage or at least scenes. Because when you cut to that 1 year later, you go back, the three are still in the lab, and they're all perfecting their powers. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what Reed's doing at all. And obviously we know, because the context clues, Reed's out looking for some type of cure. Mm-hmm. And they eventually find him. But it was just like they crashed, they're being tested on, and we're going to cut all this to the point where they're all basically ready for field testing, you
exactly.
know, as a weapon.
You cut out this part that should have been the actual strife. One of the biggest worries that we had when this movie was announced, and the way Trank announced it, was that it's going to be these characters dealing with disabilities. Yeah. And that would have been the perfect time, is the 1 year, because you're showing that how they're dealing with quote-unquote disabilities. Instead, what you get is, oh my God, this horrible shit happened to him. There's a dude on fire. There's a chick who's invisible. There's a dude who's been turned into rocks. And 1 year later, oh, they're all okay with their powers. Ben's a little still pissed off and stuff, mostly.
But they've almost all perfected their shit.
But but they've all come to terms with it, and they love it. You know, Ben goes out and fights
for the military,
I mean, and Johnny,
like Johnny
wants to
loves
do it too.
It. Johnny's digging it. Ben,
Ben's
you can tell,
it.
Is super pissed,
right.
And
but he still does it.
And Sue doesn't.
She doesn't want
to be turned into a weapon,
right?
But she's still perfecting,
she's still
everything,
perfecting her powers.
And we won't get into the details of the plot. Like they have to find Reed to figure out how to get back to the planet to find a cure, mm-hmm. and all they really want is to harness that power more for the military.
Yeah.
But it leads in, there's really only one actual action scene. I mean, one and a half, kind of, because you get to see Reed fight a little bit before that. It just seems like that was the biggest point, is the fact that they took that year off when you could have stuffed 20 to 30 minutes of character development there, mm-hmm. and you know, conflict in terms of see them battling with the military personnel a little bit more, see them come together as a team. Because mm-hmm. that was the other thing that bugged me, is they basically came together as a team, as the Fantastic Four, as you would, over like a split like second, really. Yeah. It was like they're getting their ass kicked and like, we have to join together, and then they're joined together.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a problem. But that all feels like, to go back to our original point, feels like editing problems. Mm-hmm. And there's been so much stuff reported on about, you know, Josh Trank was awful to work with, and he was bizarre behavior and everything like that. But then you hear more reports of, like, before they were going in a shooting, he had three pivotal action sequences planned for the movie, and they took all three of them away and gave him a different one to end it. Mm-hmm. Like the day of shooting started, like, yeah, as a director and a writer, you're gonna be super fucking pissed.
Yeah.
And so it just, rather, I'm sure the studio and Trank both had wrong moments, but you can't let a guy who wrote the movie, is going to direct the movie, and all of a sudden when shooting starts, you start changing stuff. Of course he's going to be moody and pissy about it. Like, yeah. That's not going to be good for anybody.
Yeah.
Cody?
Hello. You guys said everything that, I mean, I've said already before. I think. Yeah.
How'd you like Dr. Doom's costume?
I think they did Doom the best in this one. I mean, obviously, it's the other two versions
were terrible. Yeah, come on.
The mouth thing, the opaqueness of the costume was a little weird, but it still made sense. Actually, that's one thing I wanted to also point out, is that I love that they made the powers make sense in this movie. Yeah. Because, like, you watch the original Fantastic Four movies, not the what's his name's one,
Roger Corman,
not the Roger Corman one, but the other two. You know, and even the comics, it's like they got irradiated by stuff, and suddenly one guy turns into a rock, and one guy can light himself on fire they and gave stretch it, and blah. But they gave it
they
actual
gave it meaning and depth.
Well, no, not just that, but they gave it, because the original ideas of their powers were to go along with their personalities. Johnny's a show off, so he's fire.
Right.
Ben's the strong shield for everybody, so he's made of rock. Susan is shy and thinks she's, you know, wants to be out of the limelight so she can turn invisible. Reed is flexible and is always trying to go beyond his means, so he's stretchy. That's the idea. That's the idea that Stan Lee had originally for their powers. That's why they had him.
But in the movie,
they just literally just like hit by cosmic, like in the Tim Story one, so the one with Jessica Alba and everything. They get hit by cosmic rays, and somehow she turns invisible. He lights on fire, which I pointed at you for some reason.
Yeah,
because you're. That's weird. You turn into rock.
I think we can
blah.
All figure out why you're pointing at me. For
I just did that
Storm.
In general. I mean, it's not he doesn't turn invisible or she doesn't turn invisible.
You pointed at me and said
points
she
at Joe.
Invisible.
She's invisible because Joe's got the long hair.
Yeah.
You point at me.
Technically,
and say,
he should be
a she.
Reed. Well, he should be Reed. So yeah. I should have said he gets become stretchy. But I just going down the line. Anyways, So in the Tim Story movies, they just have those powers. They didn't explain why. They didn't give you a reason why. They just, boom, you know, here they are. Plus, they use them poorly in general and didn't really say anything about them. But in this one, what Joe is trying to say is not the fact they have depth and reason, but you saw why they got that power, because Ben got stuck with a bunch of rocks.
Right. Rocks in his pod.
Yep.
Before
Johnny got lit on fire.
Yes.
You know, and then that gave you the reason why, you know, like that gave you what it was.
Legitimacy,
like,
makes sense.
So it made sense to why the powers affected them that way, because they all got hit by something different. They got affected differently, so that's why it was.
Which I certainly appreciate. I thought it was very good.
The one thing that I liked the most about Doom was the fact that they mentioned that the suit fused to his skin. And then when you see it, you're like, oh, that's super fucked up, because he's like the helmet that they wore, you can see it actually molded to his head, mm-hmm. and the face mask is literally his part of his mask, or is his face, like over his mouth, and then like the neck of his suit, where, you know, actually is like swiveled around, like basically got sucked against him, and so you can see the wrinkles in it. It was super creepy. The one thing though that I always thought was cool of the characterization of Doom from the comics and stuff and even the cartoons is the fact that he wears a mask and you can see under the mask the human skin, so you can see his mouth. I would have liked the breathing apparatus to be able to be see-through, to see the glowing mouth behind it move when he talked.
Mm-hmm.
So it would give you that sense, because you saw his eyes and they were flesh-like until he powered up and they turned green and dark, and they just, which was awesome. But I would have liked to see that same thing when it happened, to see his mouth glowing through the respirator. That's the only thing I would have, because you could see, like, you obviously you could see through it very well, you couldn't see his mouth. I would have liked to see just that little detail thrown in there and make it kind of an ode to the original fact that he does have a mask on. It happens to be the mask he was wearing when he hit by the fucking shit on Planet Zero that caused him, you know, to have his crazy gravity powers and his huge fucking
anger want for issues.
Death.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus seriously, Christ. There was so much death. As soon as he entered, as soon as Doom.
As soon as he's back to Earth.
Comes back to Earth, just popping heads just left and right. Yeah. And just
literally popping heads left and right.
And that alone should have got an R rating.
Yeah, it was almost, I was like, this is pretty graphic.
Really graphic.
I can first, see what that person was thinking.
Yeah, literally, because it's on the wall.
Yeah.
What's the last thing went through his mind? The rest of his brain.
Yep.
I mean, liquefies, what's his balls in his yeah. radiation suit.
Yeah.
Tim Blake Nelson, who apparently survived being, his head being, you know, gamma radiated from the Hulk. By the way, he was in the Hulk, Edward Norton. He's the one that had the stuff drip on his head.
Yeah, and it just kind of... He's
supposed to be the leader in the sequel, but they never made a sequel because Norton.
Moving on.
But yeah, I liked that a lot. I didn't like the fact that they didn't mention the suit thing at all. Like, the other people's suits. Like, Ben, obviously, he is not wearing a suit, and everyone's complaining is he doesn't have a rock dick.
But you have to understand the way they show it is that he's literally covered
in rocks. Yeah, and so that
he has a suit on when he goes.
Yeah, so the suit covers everything, and but he becomes fully rock all the way through because they say it in the movie. Like he's
he literally has a heart that's made of rock.
Yeah, so like he's all rock. So granted, the suit obviously is covering it, and then being transformed doesn't really need those organs anymore. So, and then Sue, her suit. Literally has no, I mean, there's really no reason to have it other than the fact that she has to strain even more to make the suit go invisible also.
Yeah.
Reed, for some reason, has, because he can't control his powers very well, have slinkies and like springs on his arms and stuff. Well,
I think, but that was also to keep the fabric
together. Yeah, but that was also the thing is, again, they cut to 1 year later, so they just have costumes. Like, right,
there's a lot of misses.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. Like, they didn't explain what they're doing.
But Reed's looks super weird because you have to remember he was away, kind of out on the run.
Yeah, he threw his together, yeah.
Yeah, so. He made his own.
But, like the I remember reading the descriptions when they first leaked out of why, and it's so it helped keep his, like, you know, keep his power, like, because he stretches. But I was like, really, his suit doesn't need to stretch. He does. It would just fall loose on him. He's not getting, like, if he goes,
he's not
bigger,
getting any bigger. Yeah,
the suit would hinder it, but if he's stretching out or bending in a shape, it just needs to not constrict him. You know,
it would actually.
They didn't want him to have high waters.
Yeah, yeah, it would go this way,
right.
As not, he stretches out.
But instead, it would stretch with him. So the nice thing I did notice when they're getting ready to fight Doom. When he would stretch his arms, you'd actually see his arms leave the sleeve, and the sleeve would stay back.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd still see the sleeve stretch a little bit while his arm's still going out. But again, it's like, it's not attached to him, so it's not going to stretch
with him.
But the one that bothered me the most was Johnny's. So Johnny his had suit. To, like, regulate the power, the flame right. on. He had to hit a button on his wrist or something.
In order to
and then
turn on.
Flame on. And I was like...
That makes no sense.
I was like, why? Like...
It might have made sense.
We
never got an explanation. Yeah. So,
I mean, the only thing I can assume is that he can't
control,
ignite the fire. He can control the fire. He just can't produce it or something.
No, but because he was already on, so I think it's that suit's made to extinguish it.
Yeah.
So he can't, like, he has to have that on. That's the only thing. The only thing that bothered me though. So if that gets damaged somehow,
he's fire.
Does he just fire all the time? Until he learns to control it, like learns to shut it off, because he said to say to light on, he hits it, and I think it lets whatever it does. Again, we don't know because it's cut out, or no, they didn't explain it. He hits the some kind of button or something on his suit, and he just flames on. So which means it lets oxygen onto him, or I don't know. Like I said, I thought that was dumb because of the fact that like he was always on, you know what I mean? Like, he was always on fire, because that's the thing. They showed him
right,
on fire all the time. Mm-hmm. So, like, I didn't think that was a thing that needed to be done. Reeds bothered me because it makes no fucking sense to have springs on there. I get why, and I get it. It looks shabby because he made it on the fly, like, on the run, but it just didn't need it. I mean, it didn't really affect him at all, but that's just me. Overall, though, like Mike said, it's actually a really good movie. It's not great, but it's the best version outside the original cartoon. Not the original cartoon. The original cartoon was Hanna-Barbera garbage. but the I think it was like mid-90s Fantastic. Well, not the shitty one that was on MTV, but the other one. That was actually really good. I like that one a lot. But this, big screen-wise, is by far the closest we've gotten to the source material, in a way. Not that it copied anything. It was very, very original and different, but it was close enough to it where, like, hey, this is a legit origin story, and it was done well. And other than the fact that you could tell it was edited by somebody who didn't make the movie, was a blatant thing because of the, as Joe's favorite thing, random cuts from one thing to the other. It's not telling you story.
I hate that so much.
But it's not even that. It's the fact that, like, yes, it jumps from one thing to the other without really no transitions, but you literally could see they cut out
important
explanations
things.
Of things.
But that's what,
you know?
That's what I hate. That's what I want. Because another thing that I pointed out that I know you guys didn't have a problem with, but I did, was that at the beginning of the movie, it was important for you to plug your ears when this machine went off. But later in the movie, now it's more important to cover your eyes with the goggles than plug your ears. But it's not explained at all. I just want explanation. Even if it's a small little thing, to me, without explaining it, it's an inconsistency in the story. Because you're telling me one thing at the beginning, but then you're telling me something totally different at the end. And I know you guys don't care about something like that.
We took the understanding along with it that the science had, you know, the technology had
improved.
But
that's you having to make that
assumption.
Yeah, and again, it comes to the fact that might have been cut out.
The movie should tell you you shouldn't have to make that assumption in those cases.
I mean, with that, though, pseudoscience aside, obviously, if it was done well enough, it could have been, they shouldn't have to tell you, they should allude to it. So they should be like a part where it's like, hey, if we use this material, it'll dampen sound from this.
And that's literally
I'm
saying.
That's still the movie acknowledging.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Change,
that's what I'm saying. So
exactly.
Telling you, instead of just saying, hey, due to the fact this is much better technology, you don't have to cover your ears. But guess what? You're going to get blinded as shit if you fucking don't wear its goggles.
And what also, I don't know if this happened, but what also could have happened is there might have been scene shot of them continually working on it to make it better. And you would have seen the transition of it not being loud anymore and it started getting brighter. You know what I mean? And you could have seen step by step, because that, again, that could have been another 5 minutes tops.
Right. Montage of them watching them test it. Failures
and test
then
it.
Positives
yeah.
and failures. Because really, if
As
you go into it.
As getting older, too, they could have just, you know, so you understand it's over a span. Because they jump from kids and then they jump to 7 years, which is fine. But that one scene could have fixed your problem, mm-hmm. and then it could have showed the years that this has been working on.
Exactly. You know?
Well, the jump in 7 years, though, jumped him to college, to going to the Baxter Building.
Right.
So, I mean, that in that seven-year gap, you wouldn't have had that, because it wasn't until he got to Baxter Building.
No, the seven-year gap is from them
blowing
the transfuser. Yeah.
And then going to the science fair.
Yeah, but at that point, that technology was still the same way, where you had to plug your ears.
Yeah,
because they said
the Baxter Building. They had to cover their eyes.
No,
with the ears.
But yeah.
So right, in the because they did give you a montage of them building the machine, but it's literally the construction of the machine. You never saw them test it until they sent that poor fucking monkey.
Yeah.
To the fucking Planet Zero, and it's like, you jumped right to fucking biological testing. Without actually just sending the pod or a pod or something to the other side and trying to bring it back.
Right.
You just said, hey, Pod's fancy. Guess what? Stick a monkey in it.
Yep. It's one of the monkeys from Dawn of the Ape. Dawn of the Planet of Apes.
Yeah, so you mean,
that. It looks just like it.
Yeah.
Actually, is that what the one dude? Did he do mocap Caesar? For it?
Andy Serkis.
With all that being said, with as much stuff as, like, to be fair, there was things very wrong with this movie, but my overall enjoyment of the movie didn't. Like, I enjoyed the movie, and I want a sequel in the same vein, because I think they could improve upon the mistakes that they made in the first one.
As long as they keep the video out of it.
That'll never happen. True. Like I said, it doesn't deserve to be ranked where it's ranked right now. People are calling it the worst comic book movie of all time.
I agree with you.
It's not at all.
It's not even close to being the worst.
There's a ton of awful ones. Mm-hmm. And I'm counting modern day ones. I'm not counting before CGI.
What's your worst?
My worst? Oh, we talked about this last time. I think Catwoman.
Fair. Yeah.
Catwoman, Lantern. Should be everyone's one of those
worst.
Two.
But my...
No.
The Fantastic Four 1 and 2 are round out my top 3 of awfulness. it shouldn't had people had the right expectations for this movie and understood, like, again, I keep harping on it, but I don't think people were ready to get a science fiction movie out of this. I think they wanted something else. And what pisses me off is you hear all these people talk about superhero fatigue, comic book movie fatigue, you know, when there's too many of them, blah, blah, blah. There's too many comic book movies. And so, yes, it's a comic book movie, but they give you a different, fresh take on it, and nobody likes it. And for anyone who says, no, it's just really, really bad, okay, there's wrong things with it, but it's not really, really bad. It's different, and you can't
wrap your
understand
head around it.
Different at this point. Like, if you have a problem with this movie, chances are it's just because you weren't ready for a science fiction comic book movie.
You went into it expecting the Fantastic Four, like the old ones, mashed with the Avengers, when you actually got more of the Dark Knight or the Batman Begins.
Yeah.
Mashed with a Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
You know, because it focused more on their origins and how they got their powers. And not so much on them fighting one evil dude, because Doom honestly wasn't even the protagonist in this or antagonist in this movie until like the last 10 minutes.
Until he tried to destroy the planet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Shocker.
Because you could see how megalomaniacal. Wow, I can't say that.
Maniacal.
He was very evil from the first time you met him.
But he wasn't that
he had the
bad.
Look.
He wasn't.
He wanted. He explains it himself.
He was
that
arrogant.
He wants.
He was a narcissist.
He thinks he's the greatest and.
Yeah. Megalomaniac.
And he wants to be the first.
That's what you're trying to say, right?
Megalomaniac. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And then he obviously has the thing for Sue.
Right.
Which is.
But even all of
blatantly
that.
Blatantly obvious from the first fucking sentence he says. Sue going to be there?
Yeah, asking for her stepdad. Yeah, yeah. Your daughter's going to be there.
Hey, super creepy.
Yeah, keep it in your pants.
Adopted dad.
What?
Adopted dad, not stepdad.
Yeah, oh, adopted dad. Sorry, yeah.
Unless, speaking of influences, though, I found this, I think it was IMDb has it. The filmmakers were cited as saying they used Sam Raimi's Spider-Man trilogy, David Cronenberg's sci-fi films The Fly, and Scanners, as well as Josh Trank's Chronicle as influences for the film. And if you've seen those movies, it is blatant in this that those are very highly influenced in this, because A, they go into pods when they transform, especially the second, the second one they use, the gate 2, because they go inside and has like that door that shuts, and it's very angular, like the fly is. Obviously, it's very dark and extremely violent, like Chronicle was, and The Fly. Scanners, head popping. I mean, just,
true.
You know,
it's there.
Someone just going, hey, pop your head. And then obviously, Spider-Man, from Sam Raimi Spider-Man, had that depth of character that you could see, but you never got to actually go and see. Like, you saw, hey, these characters are, like, Johnny probably had the most real depth of character, started and then never really finished, other than the fact that him and his dad don't really get along. But, like, Ben, you see some of it, But you know, again,
it's, I mean, it was literally for me like, oh yeah, we have to also include this guy.
Okay, so throw him in there somewhere.
Childhood friend, he's there at the science. I mean, literally,
he's an afterthought. Is basically what you're saying.
In the first, what would it be? How long did it take him to get their powers? Probably 45 minutes.
Yeah, something like that.
In the first 45 minutes, he probably had what, like 10 words that he said.
Yeah. The most he talked was when he went with Reed to the Baxter building.
Which made things kind of awkward because the fact that he was there and you always saw him, but he didn't say much at all.
Yeah, at all.
So I didn't even care for the character. Like, there was nothing.
Well, because he wasn't a character. He was
I just knew that he literally could have been the character in any other film that they just leave behind. But just because it's Fantastic Four and you know he's Ben Grimm, well, they have to put him in there somehow so that they just have him on
the guy in the red shirt in Star Trek.
You know, he's a little more important than that.
Well, that's kind of how he was developed.
The character just kind of came along for the ride. Yeah.
Other than the fact they wanted him to be a childhood friend so Reed would bring him with him when they made the voyage. But really, he could have just become friends at the Baxter building with him.
Right. Exactly.
He could have been an engineering student that had that one thing that Reed didn't have because Reed, as we saw, wasn't really good at the engineering half of it.
Mm-hmm. Which is why...
So that's why, Von Doom was working on the same part that Reed was working on.
But they had to come together in order to get to work.
Yeah, so but the structural portion of it, yeah, that's why Johnny was there, because he builds machines. Mm-hmm. Ben could have been part of that as well.
Well, ultimately, that's what he was as a kid for
Reed. But they didn't really show
address
you that.
It,
because he supplied him with the parts, but you never really got the fact that, like...
He was the builder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? And then later on, Reed just has a car, and it's like... How the fuck did he work on a car? He could, I mean, Jesus. Anyways, so Fantastic Four. I recommend watching it.
If you had to Siskel and Ebert it or whatever you want to call it,
I'd give it a thumbs up. I mean, it's not two thumbs up, maybe a thumb up. I mean, had its flaws, but it's not what everyone's saying it was. But the thing comes down to the fact that Mike said it, Joe said it. People, I don't know what people were expecting, but as we all know, any real hardcore sci-fi movie always gets trounced by the critics. Yeah, even if it's tremendous and the people who like sci-fi movies like it, the critics and the mass majority don't adopt to it.
Yeah, sci-fi movies don't make money.
Like Interstellar. It's a newer movie.
God, I love that movie.
It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
But if you read the ratings, people fucking bash it. Now, it was positive, but it's barely positive. It's like a 60-something. Yeah. So
and that's because Nolan has built up a name, though.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, really. So, if you go into Interstellar not expecting to see, you know, Inception in space, A, you're fucking retarded, and B, why did you buy this ticket? You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I mean, that's what you're expect. I mean, that's what he does.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was. But this is the same thing where you have, like, you look at what Josh Trank has made, which is barely anything at
three
this
movies?
Point. You know?
Three or four?
Two.
He made Chronicle.
And then he made Chronicle. I thought he did like one or two of them.
No.
He had something else that he was supposed to make and something. He didn't, but...
Well, he was supposed to be a Star Wars.
Yeah, it was after this, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Due to the fact that the guy who essentially he had a beef with in this...
was the same one on Star Wars.
Is the same fucking guy for the Solo movie.
And I don't want to go... Like, I know we... I think as a group, we always tend to side on with the artist as opposed to the studios. It's not always the case. Trank, from all reports, they both share an equal amount of blame, I'm guessing. But at that point, if you're going to have a guy direct it and write it, let him finish his vision.
Yeah, don't shit on
it. At least it's his fault if it's good or bad.
He didn't write it.
He wrote the original screenplay.
Simon Kinsberg wrote the screenplay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but like, that's my opinion. Is obviously at some point Fox thought they're in trouble, so instead of just supporting and making minor tweaks, that would obviously, but how do they not know going in this is the movie they want to make and then all of a sudden don't want them to make it? Like, you should have fired Trank before cameras
before you
start
went to
rolling.
Shoot
or if Trank really, there's reports of like Trank going ape shit on set and not talking to people. I'm sure maybe at some points he were, but I feel like they're getting overblown too. because I just can't see a director doing that the whole time. And when the actors still have a relatively positive experience with them, because they made appearances with them after filming was done. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make appearances with the director after filming's done if he was that much of a jerk to you on set. But with that being said, I'm sure there's plenty of blame to go on Trank. I just think the majority of the blame probably, more than likely, goes to Fox and the studio execs for trying to put their stuff into it when it really has no place.
And they have a track record of that. Yeah. This is not like an isolated instance.
Yeah, yeah, it's not like the first time Fox is bombed on a movie.
And that's why it's so easy to blame, put all the blame on them, because it...
But if you read like the reports, it's like mainly people blaming Josh Trank for his erratic behavior and his unwillingness to work with people. I'm like, really?
This is the problem. So Fox obviously went after him after the success of Chronicle. Mm-hmm. And said, hey, we got some stuff we want to do with you. So here it is. So they went after him for the most part. I'm sure he had a little bit to do with it, but really, I'm not too sure he went at them, said, hey,
I want this
movie. I want Fantastic Four. Like, that's just, I'm pretty sure it didn't happen that way. But obviously, Fox saw something in him that they liked. So obviously they pursued that, gave him the reins, air quotes, to do this. Worked from, you know, do what you want. But then they saw it. They forced reshoots on him as early as the beginning of this year. So like coming down to the last bit you can really do without having to rush CG, because obviously, in this movie, there's a lot of CG that has to be done because you don't really find an alien planet that glows green too often around here, you know what I mean? So a lot of it is going to be set on a green screen, so it's CG'd in there. You have a fully CG'd character. Then you have essentially three other characters, not including Doom, that have to have drastic CG done to them. So if you shoot any scenes that have to do with those powers, you have to then rush that off to get CG'd into it so it looks like the rest of the film. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to the fact that, A, they weren't happy with what Josh gave them a year ago, they forced reshoots on him. At that point, they should have just replaced him. Because at that point, you no longer feel that what you originally thought he was going to give you is what he gave you, because you literally saw that and you're like, I want reshoots. You should have just taken away from them. And maybe you could have had a movie that did better, but you're trying to have a filmmaker who is an artist make what he originally wanted to, and then you have to tell him, you have to change these things to go with what we wanted. You know what I mean? So obviously, there is blame on both sides, but I would, like Mike was saying, it's definitely drastically heavier on the Fox side, because they hired somebody they thought they wanted, and then they took what control away from that possibly could have made a better movie, and that's it. Look what happened. I mean, is that what happened? We don't know. We're never going to really find that stuff out unless you work there.
There's a good chance, too, that, you know, this is the first time Trank has made anything where money was involved, like real money, because Chronicle was made for next to nothing in terms of
$13 million, I believe,
what it made back. So you get $120 million on this one.
12?
Chronicle close. Was only made for $12
million? Yeah. Yeah, and made 126.
So that's why they wanted him. Mm-hmm. And they give him 120 million, which this movie does not look like 120. It looks much more expensive than that. Mm-hmm. So again, gotta give him a little bit of credit there, because they came in on budget and on time. Mm-hmm. Even with everything going on. But there's also a good chance that Trank couldn't handle, like, obviously, if you're going a big studio, you know, summer blockbuster, there's gonna have to be give and take. It really shouldn't be, but everyone knows that's just how it is. Yeah. No studio is going to give you that much money and then let you walk away and just be gone for a few months.
Yeah.
They're going to be right there watching you. So there's going to be some things you're going to have to deal with. Maybe Trank just couldn't handle that. That's fine. He'll be a great director for a long time making indie movies, if that's the case. You know, because I don't see him getting a big budget anytime soon.
Well, it'd be much like Neil Blomkamp. I mean, all of his movies have been his movies, literally. So we're about to encounter one where it actually is Fox.
See, that makes me way nervous about it.
His Alien movie is going to be his first property that I know of, because I'm pretty sure Elysium was his own property.
Well, three movies he made are his.
Yeah, where it's some other studios. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, Josh Trank is, I mean, I could have just imagined that he's used to working his way. And a lot of times he did brilliantly with Chronicle. That's how he works. So now you have somebody else come along and saying, well, we don't want you to do that. We don't want you to do this type
and,
of thing.
And here's another thing kind of in, because you hear all these awful Josh Trank stories. You also got to kind of think, Michael B. Jordan was in Chronicle.
Mm-hmm.
If he's this much of an awful director to work with, I doubt he comes back for Fantastic Four to work with him again.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe just because it's Fantastic Four and it's obviously the biggest movie he's been a part of. But Michael B. Jordan's got a really good track record right now of movies. And he's widely considered as like the next guy. Like he's really close to breaking out and being that next big star. So, I mean, like I said, there's plenty of blame to go around. But at the end of the day, there really shouldn't be that much blame because the movie's pretty good. And if people just relaxed and realized what they're getting into and realize not everything is set up in the Marvel Universe right now where there's a world and you know what to expect. Like, going to a Marvel movie right now is really fucking comfy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone knows everybody. Everyone gets excited when a character from another movie shows up and you fucking... And it's lighthearted and they don't really deal with anything serious and it's all cool, you know what I mean? So as soon as it gets a little bit darker and heads start blowing up and fucking hazmat masks and shit, people don't like it anymore. So
would you agree and say that there is a little bit of oversaturation when it comes to superhero movies?
I see, we talked about this like a few months back too, that I think we're getting there.
But we're not there yet.
But I don't think we're there yet because one thing that people say, oh, I'm tired of comic book movies. No, you're not, because comic books are stories. That's what movies should be, storytelling. And you already have built-in stories and good stories to tell with comic book movies. So I don't think there's an over... Like, nobody says there's an oversaturation of drama movies. Like, that's a stupid fucking thing to say. No one says there's too many action movies this year. That's fucking ridiculous. That's retarded. You don't say that.
Yeah.
You go to a comic book movie, they're different enough because of the story. If they're done right, they're good. If they're not done right, they're bad. It's the same as every other genre out there.
Mm-hmm. We are on the verge of superhero fatigue, which people are confusing when they say comic book saturation. It's not the fact that comic books are oversaturating Hollywood, A, because they haven't even fucking... touch the rest of it.
I mean, hardly scratch.
As they say, the tip of the iceberg sank the Titanic. No, motherfucker. The giant ice cube under the fucking water sank the Titanic. Anyways, saying a comic book fatigue is not correct. Superhero fatigue is, we're definitely on the brink of it, but it's not going to slow down because the next few years are chock full on both, not just Marvel DC side, but DC has it.
Really,
but we're
going to
start seeing other ones too from other companies. But comic book movies, there are some things that come out that people don't even realize are from a comic book.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
The Kingsman is a comic book. It's from a comic movie. I mean, you have a lot of it.
Comic book, graphic novels, all that stuff, is it really falls in the same category that people don't realize.
That's where it comes from. Like, what I'm afraid of is the fact that we are getting to the point where, other than kids, superhero movies are going to be less likely to make those big dollars, unless it's like an Avengers movie, because they're gonna make money and that's how it is. But what Marvel's smart about is they're getting to the point where I think they know that they kind of
have to slow down.
Destroyed like that mold that everyone thought, did a really good job, but have done too many superhero movies. And that's why, like, Cap 3, which obviously is still a superhero movie because it's Avengers 2.5, is, like, right there. Because, like, the second Captain movie was, yes, there were superpowers in it, but it was not a superhero movie. It was a noir movie. Like, it was
an espionage type movie.
You go to the next biggest one, obviously,
Iron Man.
It's a sci-fi movie for the most part. It's a dude builds a fucking suit that gives him abilities, you know? But, like, it's done in a way where it's not too heavy on people, so you can kind of do it. But you go to Josh Trank's,
even in it until the end.
Yeah,
too.
But then you go to Josh Trank's Fantastic Four. That shit is steeped in the sci-fi from the very beginning, the way through, and doesn't go anywhere but in sci-fi.
It starts in science and stays in science.
But Marvel is getting to the point where, like, hey, yeah, like, we have other stuff that's still sci-fi. Ant-Man did extremely well.
And Ant-Man's not a superhero movie, really. It's like a heist movie with some superhero powers. Yeah. Yeah. You know?
And then but you have Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know if you guys know this or not. That's a sci-fi movie.
No.
I mean, there's no arguing. It's a sci-fi movie from every part of it. I mean, opening scene, a kid gets gobbled up by an alien ship. You know what I mean? Like, that's sci-fi. I mean, this is how it is. But they're getting into the realm where they're going to have to go... They're going to break the mold on that superhero thing. They're not getting away from that. I'm not saying that at all, because you have superheroes coming up, but you're going to have a different variety of them than what you have. You're going to have a dude that wears a black suit who doesn't really have superpowers in Black Panther. You have a chick who shoots sunbeams out of her hands with Captain Marvel. She flies around. That's different. I mean, yeah, it's like Superman, because that's what Superman does in a way. So it's different. And you have Doctor Strange, which is going to go to a whole different fucking corner of the universe and be like supernatural.
Right.
So like, that's good to know. DC obviously is still floating around that superhero boat, because
DC is noticeably going a much darker, grittier tone.
Yes.
With their movies. So at least, yeah, you have superheroes in that, but you're seeing a darker, like the even the trailers for Batman v Superman, they're dealing with, you know, hero worship and you know, the right and wrong of over protection and blah blah and blah.
That could be the nail in that coffin, because if you're getting away from that, if you're trying not to say getting away from superheroes again, they're trying to do something different. The problem with it is if you get too heavy with it, that's where the mass majority of people stop liking it. Because of that fact, and I think that's what happened with Fantastic Four, and what Fox ended up doing is saying, "Hey, this is way too fucking heavy. You need to cut this out. Like, you need to do different things
but
to make this."
You know
different.
What breaks up those heavy movies are gnarly badass action sequences,
and I agree
and
with you.
So that's where Batman v Superman's going to be saved, because you're going to see badass. We're hoping badass action sequences.
Just from the
trailer, you saw cool as shit fight scenes in it.
Yeah.
So it had, you know, they left the three pivotal action scenes that were reported originally part of the movie in the shooting schedule. That could have broken up the seriousness of this movie enough, and the heaviness of the movie, to give you a break and just look at cool shit for a little bit. And then it could come back, you know, it would have been, you know, so monotone the whole movie.
The one thing though, that I think I was actually shocked by is the levity in Fantastic Four. There was actually some really funny parts that I think could have helped that. I mean, again, we're going on speculation of what we could have seen, what we did see, but it was nice to see like that, because it was super dark, like not so much from the beginning, other than the fact that, like, you know, the guy you're focusing on is a loser no one likes, except for the other loser that no one likes. But it was humorous. Even in that opening time when they were kids, there was a little bit of that humor in there. Like, which is, it was dry humor too, which was really nice. It wasn't like those jokey ones where, like, he says, "Reed, you're crazy. Thank you." Like that kind of stuff. Like,
it didn't turn into Transformers 2.
Yeah. You know, where you don't need to go one way, and it shows that. A, there was some writing involved in this, and there was someone who understands things, and then it just, I mean, again, we don't know, but it looks like it was just picked clean of anything else that could have made it.
But that way. Like, that kind of brings me to my point, is people are worried about Batman v Superman being too dark, too serious, too gritty. When I say no, let it be dark and gritty and serious as fuck, because it's different than what Marvel's doing. Everyone's so comfortable with Marvel right now, and rightfully so. They've done great work, but it's okay to see a sci-fi movie. It's okay to see a dark, gritty crime. You know,
honestly, all the Dark Knights were dark and gritty,
and that's good to say, because you aren't those people. You are a fan of those things, which makes you smart. We're worried about the critics who are idiots and the mass majority aren't into that.
Agreed. Yes, they're idiots, but they're idiots for reasons that are just like I can't even understand. Because if a movie, if this movie wasn't a Fantastic Four movie, and it was just built like Chronicle was built,
it would have probably done a lot better.
Yeah, it would have done good. But people, they hear Fantastic Four
and they expect one thing.
And they think
exactly the originals.
And or they're just, like, those ones sucked. Poppy. And then they look at Marvel and they're like, well, maybe it's like that because it's a Marvel movie. No, it's
not a Marvel
from
movie.
The Marvel comic books, but it's not a Marvel movie.
And that's like, the thing.
People have to understand who's making what and what it's going to be when it comes out.
And that's
out.
When it comes down to the critics, A, shouldn't review movies that they are not into. If you like dramas, you should not be reviewing Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
If your favorite movie is some artsy French, you know, silent film, clearly you're not gonna like a comic book movie.
Yeah. Or Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. Like, don't watch those fucking movies. And don't rip them. Like, so many times I read reviews online and some reviews will start off, I'm not usually a fan of these type of movies.
Close. You shouldn't
stop reading that review because nothing they say matters because they don't. But say, like I said, with Fantastic Four wasn't called Fantastic Four, it would have done a lot better. The exact same movie, people were like, well, that kind of weird. Like, that guy stretches like Mr. Fantastic. but it, like, you could tweak the powers a little bit and essentially make the exact same movie, people would have liked it.
I guarantee you people would have done it. That's the thing. What I'm saying, though, is when you have those critics and you have the mass market, and I think my friend John Duncan said it. He said, he's like, yeah, but you're a nerd that you're into those sort of things. I'm like, motherfucker, that's why they're making them. If you tell me that this book is ultra popular, they sold millions of copies of this book, why the fuck wouldn't you want to make a movie that is that book? Yeah. Romance nerds love those books, right? Twilight, they're garbage. We all fucking know it. The books and the movies.
But they made it and
they
did
well. But they made them and they did well. Why? Because the movie reflects the fucking book.
Well, look, and go to the other, if you want to go like the romance novel, John Sparks? Nicholas Sparks? What's
Nicholas
his name?
Sparks.
Nicholas Sparks, yes.
Yeah. So his books, uber popular. Basically every rom-com that came out in the last 3 years is based off of one of his, or romantic movie. Came out in the last 3 years,
Notebook.
Probably based on one of his, like The Notebook. Yeah,
that's.
I don't really care for those movies. I saw that movie. I didn't like it that much. Like, it's whatever. Like, it. The acting was fine. You know,
I'm glad I didn't pay to see
it. But it's not my kind of movie. I'm not gonna go online and write a review about how this movie sucks because there's no fucking explosions in it. You know,
like, well, that's when you go see Dear John.
Yeah,
because there was explosions. But that's what I'm saying is like if so Days of Future Past, we all know the majority of people at this table who have seen this were not big fans of it. Granted, no, three of us have seen it. You're the only one that hasn't.
Yes.
So majority of us would agree that the X-Men movies have sparsely been good. They started off really well before anybody really knew how to make those movies yet. Then progressively got worse, but then you have to look at how it was made. That's not the argument I'm talking about. So, not exactly the best track record. I was willing to give it a shot because it was someone's birthday and I got tricked into it. Mike said, you're not going to like it. You're not the only person. Mike and my friend Will said, you're not going to like it because you already think you don't like it. So I tried to go in there. Yeah, Mike and my other friend.
Well, I mean, it was true, though. It was a true statement.
It's a true statement.
Because you hated.
Yeah.
Hated.
I hated First Class.
First Class.
I fucking wish that movie would die.
And so
I had a time machine, I would go back. One of the things I would do is make that movie not happen.
We knew going in to Days of Future Past.
I was kill Hitler. Not gonna always kill Hitler if you have a time machine.
Yeah. I'm saying, for movie wise.
After you kill Hitler, you make sure First Class doesn't get made.
What I get to the point though is like I said, you know what? All right, fine. I will give this a shot because I'm gonna go see it. I already committed to go to see it with Ken for his birthday. I'll go watch it. Granted, I paid $6 for it because I had a coupon, but still, I went in saying, you know what? I'm gonna try to like this. I'm gonna be open minded as much as I possibly can. Being 33 years old is fucking difficult as shit. But I'm gonna go in. I'm gonna give it a chance. I'm not going to try to say, hey, this is good and this is good. Aha, okay. I'm just going to give it a shot. I fucking left hating it. Shocker. And it just shocked her. Now, jump to a different movie, Planet of the Apes. I did not see the first one, the James Franco one.
Right.
I thought from the trailers, it looked fucking horrendous.
Which Planet of the Apes? The James Franco the James or Franco the Dawn?
Yeah. Yeah. James Franco, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, right?
Yeah, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Or no, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Dawn is the newest.
Dawn is the newest. Second one. So I didn't watch that one. And so when the second one came about, I was like, fuck this movie. I didn't want to see the first one. I'm not going to see the second one. I then promised somebody for their birthday I would go watch it with them. Chris
Furman.
We're
just going to make you start watching movies on your birthday.
No, because I will learn.
I think that's a good idea, actually.
So then I go trying to be open-minded. And Chris kept trying to tell me, watch the first one. I'm thinking, I don't want to fucking watch the first one. I don't think the first one could be good. He's like, oh, it's good. So I didn't watch it. I did read the scripts online, which was a horrible idea because it was out of order. And stuff that happened in it in the script wasn't actually in the movie, apparently. Anyways, went in to watch the second one. Loved it. I was like, this is, like, if you go into that movie and you watch it. Have any of you seen the second one yet?
I haven't seen the second one.
Right. I have.
Have you seen the second one? There are parts that will legitimately make you cry.
It's very good. It was
about
very
a
good.
Fucking fake monkey people. I was like, something's A, wrong with me. Like, I must be allergic to the air conditioning.
That is true.
Because my eyes keep, like liquid keeps falling out of them.
Allergies.
Like, something's bad in here. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm allergic to someone's cologne. It was a terrific movie. Like, from start to end, I was like,
very good.
I kind of want to watch the first one. Still haven't watched it. But I was like, I like this movie a lot. Like, so much so I told other people, hey, even if you didn't like the first one, you should go see this one because I don't know what happened in the first one and what you didn't like about it. But this one is tremendous. Like, the acting was fantastic. The CG was amazing. The action was unbelievable.
Very action.
Like, when you got to the action, it was fucking fierce. Like, the monkey fights? Oh, my God, dude. I was like, oh, I don't even know what to root for. I just wanted, like, just the whole thing. She monkey fights. I don't know, man. It was crazy. But it was so good. Like,
which is
punches,
funny because
I told you.
I saw you just flying through.
I watched the first Planet of the Apes, the James Franco one, and you're like, oh, that movie's going to be stupid. I think I watched it, like, I Redboxed it or rented it on iTunes or some shit. And I liked it. I was like, it wasn't great, but I liked it. I was like, no, you'll dig it, dude. It's pretty good. You're all, no. Yeah. And then,
because I mean,
then the sequel comes out.
He was set.
No,
not
yeah.
liking
Cody,
this movie.
Cody, for people who don't know,
I will say this. All right, let me talk. I am extremely stubborn when it comes to things that I believe I will not like.
Absolutely.
And I like to fake like I don't believe it, but I'm a very, very. I'm honest with you. If I don't want to like it, there's a 700% chance I'm not going to like it because my brain literally goes, oh, he said not like. Switch just turns the fuck off. I'm like, nope, not good. Nope, fuck it.
I don't think I know anybody who digs his heels in
deeper
than you.
I'm fucking horrible when it comes to it. But I'll give stuff a chance. Maybe. Depends if that switch got switched all the way, you know? It's like one of those dimmer things where you kind of like slide it. If it just goes to the bottom, it's like, nope, I'm just fucking dark.
Well, it's like
one.
It's like I watched Horrible Bosses 2 in theaters.
Yes.
And I told you, no, it's really good. It's funny. And you watched it two weeks ago?
Like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Fucking hilarious, first off.
And he's like, no, it looks stupid. I was like, no, it's good, dude.
Let me give you my argument or basis for this. The first one, when I first read about it, I was like, this is the dumbest fucking sounding movie ever.
The first Horrible Bosses.
The first one. Yeah, hilarious.
Very funny.
The three of them together, because the worst three friends, because they're not even friends in the first one. They're like
people
who see
each other.
Like, they don't work together, none of that. I was like, it's fucking fantastic. You know, it's like they was so funny. Charlie Day was hilarious. Jason Dacus was funny. Jason Bateman was funny. Like, I'll bend it over for show the 50 states. It's not a saying. It is now. Like, that's something. Yeah. It's just fucking hilarious. So when I heard about them making a second, I was like, well, obviously that's like, you don't need to make a second one.
Right. First one was good. Leave it alone.
Like, you don't need to make a second one. He did it. I read the premises and I was like, well, they're not. It's not really. But it's not a boss. Like, you went away from the title. It's not their boss. I get that. And
no,
that's not what it actually is.
Because that's why you didn't want to watch it. You're like, there's no bosses to kill.
So I say, there's no bosses. Like, that makes no sense. It's a game of horrible bosses. Watch the second one and you realize they're the bosses and they are horrible. made sense. And the movie is extremely funny. Chris Pine, fan-fucking-tastic. His second best movie outside of the Star Treks, because they're all one. Like, he's played Kirk. It's not like he played Kirk and then someone else won. He is amazingly a douchebag in this fucking movie. Yeah, like,
he's pretty fantastic.
You know, like when you have a douchebag in a movie, you're like, hey, I'm going to try to like this guy because obviously there's something, like he's going against him. He is a fucking royal douche the entire time.
Yeah.
Entire time.
There's, with that being said about how you, like, I think I'm more open to movies because if I watch a movie and I would like to think I have a pretty good understanding of what a movie's supposed to be when I go into it. So if I go in and I watch a, like an animated like kids movie, which I watch most of them because usually I like them, like the Pixar ones.
Mostly
and stuff
they're
like that.
They're good,
but there's some that are like family movies. Like, yeah, I don't like that movie. It was a family movie geared towards kids. It wasn't quite done as well like a Pixar movie was, but I'm not gonna bash it because it's a family movie. That movie's not made for me. They don't care if I like that movie. You know what I mean? Certain comedies, you know, like I understand that, but I think people have a real bad problem about going in and predetermining in their head what kind of movie. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not. Well,
no. Cody, no.
Cody usually, if once he watches it, he understands what the movie's supposed to be in most cases.
And I watch a lot of movies.
That's true.
So, I'm not closed off to movies.
So
no, you watched Birdman 3 times.
Restate
yeah,
that.
Still trying to figure it out.
You're not closed off to most movies.
No. I am not closed off to movies.
No, the reason closed off to like X-Men is because X-Men was steadily going downhill.
And I agree with that.
X-Men got so bad. The last movie, they basically had to make a movie to erase all the movies so they could start over
fresh.
We
did just have that conversation the other day, too.
So I'm justified in that hatred. I don't hate something. I don't look at something and go, I'm not going to like it. Now, I do that for some things, but it's based on something. Or the fact that I just don't understand it. Because I watch a lot of shit.
So the point to the story is don't go into a movie that, like, don't go into a sci-fi movie
expecting,
if you don't watch sci-fi movies.
Gone with the Wind.
And, yeah, expecting something else.
Yeah.
Maybe not Gone with the Wind, because don't watch Gone with the Wind either.
It's a good movie.
It's a classic.
Ish.
it's not for you.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a good movie, though.
Let's not use that for my sci-fi comparison. Come on, no.
Well, it's fucking drastic difference, isn't it?
But no, so...
Fucking musical.
So, like, if you sci-fi. See... If you haven't seen Fantastic Four...
Go see it.
Don't... I'm not going to tell you to go watch it in theaters.
Yeah, just give it a shot, though.
Watch it. When it comes out on HBO, watch it.
Don't
Understand
Rizzo
what
it
is. It's a sci-fi movie. Watch it, and I guarantee you, once the smoke has settled a little bit and time has passed, people are going to start realizing this movie's not that bad. It's pretty good.
And there are plenty of movies out there that started out this exact same way, where it was just trashed and you know by the critics and the theaters and all that, and next thing you know, it's a
and it's
campy,
across
you know,
genres.
It's a favorite.
Mm-hmm. Every genre has a couple movies.
It's
where,
not a cult classic. It's not going to
well,
end up being.
No,
but it's going to. It's a good foundation for more to come. If given the chance, the problem, what Mike said, is we're not going to get a true sequel to this movie.
Nope.
I think it was Comic Book Resource put up a thing today or yesterday. They asked, what should Fox do with Fantastic Four? Some of the options were, make a TV show. Go fuck yourself. That's expensive shit.
Go fuck yourself.
That's a horrible idea,
yeah,
too.
It's like, come on now. Like, episodic.
Not, please, like, understand it's, what's realistic.
Hey, let's take a movie that
if
didn't make
a cartoon,
lot of money.
And spend more, put more money into it.
If it's a cartoon, it's easy to do. But trying to do live action where a dude stretches and there's a rock monster running around,
yeah,
you're not going to fucking do it. Especially with Fox's big count, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But then they said TV show. They said a straight-up sequel, which is what they need to do.
Right.
They need to stick to
their
guns.
Won't happen, but it
won't,
that's
do,
what
won't
they,
happen.
Yeah.
They need to do, they said, a lighter touch, which obviously is what we're probably going to see. They're going to do a crossover with X-Men or just forget it. And I was like, well, first off, that second one's not going to happen. That first one, definitely not going to happen. That third one, most likely. The last one, definitely not going to happen. Those two middle ones, that's probably what we're going
to
see.
It would be. I personally believe that they should just let it go, let it revert back to
Marvel. Oh, that's the other thing, too, I found out. They were 2 years away from Marvel
retaining
it.
I thought it was closer than that.
Two. No, from when they made it.
Okay.
That's, so like, yeah. that's why they did it. Is because for all these people who are like, give it to Marvel, give it to Marvel. Like, you got to understand, yeah, they did it with Spider-Man, kind of, like Sony did. But they realize, like, they're not going to make as much money. Like, they take less money from it now, give it to Marvel, and get some of the back end. They're going to make good money out of it. Fox is... they will lose so much money to just let the rights go to Marvel. Like, mm-hmm. they can't do that.
And the other thing, too, is Fox is looking at their track record with all the other stuff, like X-Men, and saying, hey, we can make money at these because, oddly enough, First Class and Days of Future Past made them money. They did well. Again, right. I don't know how.
They brought in more than it cost to make them, yes.
So they made money on them. So they're thinking, hey, we made money on the first two. If we make this, we retain the rights, and we should be able to make money on it.
And the verdict's still not out. It only costs $120 million. Once it makes its final run worldwide, it's probably going to make...
Yeah, or break even.
It's going to break even.
Yeah. Worldwide, going into its second weekend, it's at $65 million so as of right now. There.
And rule of thumb, at least for domestic, rule of thumb is what it makes in the first 2 weeks... double that, that's what you're going to get domestically. So, first 2 weeks is going to make probably, what, 40?
So the domestic. Well, right now they're at 33 for just domestic right. for the first week.
For the first week. So, it's going to be around 40-ish probably. 40, 50, it's going to take a big dip. But that rule of thumb, go back and look it up, it's damn near foolproof. Like, it's almost, you can almost set your watch to it. So, that's $80 million.
So, that means they're only going to be down 40.
So that means there's another $40 million worldwide that it has to pull.
And if you're saying they're going to make double that, it's...
it will make its money back. Yeah.
Worldwide right now is almost half of what it's made so far. And domestically, it's made 33. Everywhere else, it's made the rest of that 65. So, technically speaking, it could make closer to its budget if not. But we also have to see how well it does when it comes out on the other end. Because... when it gets ready to come out, they're gonna push more to it. They're gonna say,
well, and a lot of people heard the reviews that maybe wanted to see it, heard the reviews and said,
got gunshot.
Fuck it, I'm not gonna watch it. But they'll watch it when it comes out because they were originally still curious, and it's a lot easier to watch a movie at home. So when it legally becomes available, people will watch it.
Yeah, so that's gonna help a lot. Will it make up that 40 to 20 million so more?
Fox will probably maybe lose a little bit because of advertising, but they're going to come close enough to breaking even, probably make a little bit, not enough to set the...
it'll world be easy to call it a wash for sure.
But they're so close to making money off of it that there's no way they're just going to leave it alone and let it default back to Marvel. Yeah. It's never going to happen. They're going to make another one.
Because of this, they get another 10 years on it.
They get another 10 years.
So they technically have another 8 years before they have to get another one in production to keep the rights away from Marvel.
That's why the Richard Corman one was made.
Robert Corman.
Yeah, exactly why.
Roger Corman's?
Roger
the one
Corman,
in 94,
sorry.
Yeah, because they bought it back in the 80s. Back then it was only a six-year term. They needed to make it, so the year before it went up, 1994, they made it.
Literally a month and like
they made it,
dollars,
and they didn't.
Like that.
They made it to not even release it. They didn't tell the actors. They didn't tell anybody. They made a movie
just so
to
that
shelve
they didn't
it.
Lose it.
Yeah,
just so they didn't have to give the rights back to whoever at the time. Obviously, right. In 1994, Marvel wasn't the powerhouse they are now. So like they weren't afraid of that. They were afraid of somebody else getting it and being able to do something with it. Because God forbid anybody else plays with their toys. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So like they were fighting against that happening. Versus anything else, so they just made they paid people not a whole lot of money. No. They paid people back then, it was probably a bunch for them, money to make something that they planned on
to
not actually
release.
Doing anything with, like not making it. Hey, instead and put it on this fancy new home video thing they have. Not 94 was a new home video new thing, but you know, putting it out for people to at least see it and try to make money. They literally spent money
to shelve it
to keep it. You know what I mean? It's like that seems super dumb. But the thing is, in the contracts and copyright and all that fun stuff is so chock full of loopholes that like they just find the slightest thing they have to do to make it so they don't have to give up anything.
To keep it.
Because the rule is, even if they to make a TV show out of it, they don't get to keep the rights. Because the right wasn't for a TV show. They had to buy, they would have to buy the rights for it to make it. And then they'd have to, on top of that, still make a movie to keep those rights. And then it would sink back to whoever, you know. Would
and that's why, for all the people that I always hear, like, oh, why don't they just make X-Men versus Avengers, blah, blah, blah. That's why it's not going to happen.
Like, yeah.
Too many studios have their hands in it. It got split up a long time ago.
We're lucky to get Spider-Man and the Avengers coming
out. I honestly thought it would never happen.
So did I.
Because even...
Especially because it's Sony.
Yeah.
And even with the last Spider-Man not being like being as bad as it was, I still thought, I was like, that first one was still good.
Yeah.
I was like, they're still going to make another one. People will still go watch it.
Here's an odd question. Which is better, Fantastic Four, 2015, so Josh Trank's Fantastic Four, or Amazing Spider-Man 2? Which one's better?
Fantastic Four.
I mean, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah. I haven't seen the second Spider-Man.
It wasn't very good.
It comes with a caveat, too, because Amazing Spider-Man was really, really good, I thought.
So the
fact that the second one went so far away from what made the first one good made it feel worse than it probably was.
And actually, speaking of that, brings up a very funny point of use. What you said earlier is the darkness. The first, not darkens, but yeah. The actual darkness of the movie. The first, because we call him darkness.
Don't make it sound like we're just going around calling him darkness and he hates it.
Hey, you guys
it.
Are digging into the grave here.
Anyways, that's what he calls himself. He has a hat that says it, darkness, on it.
Spills it with a letters. Q.
Well, that's his rap name, but when he wears the hat, it's his darkness. Anyways, I call him Milk Darkness. Anyways, what I was saying is the first Amazing Spider-Man movie, the most recent one, not Tobey Maguire.
Andrew Garfield
ones. It was a pretty fucking dark movie. I don't know if you guys remember it so well. Like, it wasn't so happy-go-lucky. People were like, oh, emo Spider-Man. Well, first off, go fuck yourself. That's not what emo means. If anything,
emo Spider-Man was in part 3.
3, yes.
Yeah.
And that's because that's for sure. And that movie was a fucking train wreck from the beginning.
Dancing around the street.
I'm supposed to have a gang when you snap dance.
West Side Story. It's in New York.
Yeah, go grab the Sharks. Yeah. If you want to start snapping, you better grab the Jets or the Sharks, goddammit. Right.
Not walk down the street like a fucking weirdo with your dyed hair for some strange reason.
Well, you got the symbiote.
Oh, God. Anyways, the Andrew Garfield one was extremely dark. Like, there was some vibrance in it. There was some humor. And the people were like, oh, but he got all angry and did skate things. Like, he was a skateboarder. Like, that's what he did. He was a teenager.
And that I thought that was a good idea, too, because it gave lent some itself like, idea to why he was able to
transition
right.
into
bounce videos. Around and swing around. He was a good skateboarder, which would naturally lead you to believe he'd be good at doing other athletic stuff.
Other than giving the trope of, oh, he does parkour. You know, he's no Jake Johnson. But, you know, they gave him a purpose for having that slight ability. But then you jump to the Fantastic Four, and it is dark. Well, not it is dark. It is dark. It's a dark movie, just in general. But that's why I'm like, people get, they take that the wrong way. They're like, oh, it's just moody. And I'm like, well, no, it's not. It's because his parents died, and his uncle died. And his uncle died kind of because of him. You know what I mean? Like,
he's supposed to feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the character, and it's basically him trying to live with that guilt, but also with the responsibility of having powers. And it's built into the story, but like, you just can't understand it because you're idiots.
And to counterpoint, not because I disagree with you, but because I've heard other people's disagreements with that, they always point to the fact that Nolan made an earnest, serious Batman trilogy. Here's the thing about
dude
that.
Dude was weepy the entire time.
Part 2 would not have been as successful as it was if it wasn't for the the amazing, amazing performance of Heath Ledger
villain.
As the Joker. Mm-hmm. That had that built in. And it sounds shitty to say this, but the fact that he died
made it better.
It was more special because it was already so good, and you're like, fuck, we're never going to see this again.
And it helped you realize how dark the movie really was.
Yeah.
Because it weighed that much on him.
And so without that performance, that movie is not nearly as successful as it was, because Batman Begins, not that monetarily speaking, it wasn't that successful. It was successful enough to give him a sequel and up the budget and to see what he could do. And then, like I said, part two, without Ledger, it's not, you know, it's for those type of movies to make money, it needs that huge performance, that spectacular performance that everyone talks about. That's really hard. Those don't come around. It's not like you can grab great actors and give them a great script, and doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work. Like, you have to catch everything just right. You have to catch lightning in the bottle. Still got lightning in
the bottle, yeah. He made that role, though. Like, yeah. Granted, he didn't write that role.
No.
But I know for a fact... He embodied that role. He made what you saw on screen. That was Heath Ledger.
Right.
Well, I mean, it was the Joker. But it was Heath Ledger being the Joker.
He made it real.
So that's why that one did so well, was because of him. And then to prove that point... The third one, everyone went and watched because it was the accumulation of the story. Nobody liked it as much as the second one.
Very true.
Like, and a lot of people will claim they didn't like it. But
yeah, we don't like those people, so go fuck themselves.
So, but that's what I'm saying. Like, those type of dark, gritty movies, people always say, oh, we want something different. No, you don't. You don't want something different. You want exactly what you're comfortable with watching right now.
You want something different until it's not what you thought you wanted, no. Even though that's what you just asked for.
And I think people think that, oh, you know, Heath Ledger made a great, like, why can't we get a performance like that in one of these movies? It's not that fucking easy, dude.
And if we gave you that, you'd be like, oh, he's just trying to be Heath Ledger. Go fuck yourself. That's what you asked for.
Yeah, exactly.
You just said, hey, I want more of Heath Ledger.
How many times a year do you get a performance like that?
You don't even get that once a year, I don't think.
You don't always even get it once a year.
Or every 5 years, really.
Yeah, like, it takes everything coming together just fucking right for that to work. So that's why... Like, you can't just use the argument of make the villains better. Fuck you. It doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? Sometimes stuff doesn't catch on.
No, it's more like 3 points, bro. It's like triangle of awesome. Because you know, writing.
I was trying to stop time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wait, to throw it back.
Yeah.
We're back.
Oh, damn it.
But, like, we'll sum it up because we're 100, you know, an hour and 21 minutes in. It's fine. It's free. Fuck them.
We're going to cut about 20 minutes out of this podcast.
I'm going to send this over to Fox. They're going to edit out all the good stuff. It'll just give us the bare bones.
No, they'll probably edit down to about 30 minutes of us just saying right. Trank was wrong.
Yeah. Like, piece together, Trank, wrong. But to end this, what we're trying to say is make your own fucking opinions about stuff.
And try to be open-minded when you go into stuff. Appreciate that things are different and everything's not so goddamn cookie cutter.
Appreciate
like
that
we're
things
clearly
need to be
heading in that direction.
Yeah, we need to break away, kids.
Things need to be different. There's no way we can continue down this road of, you know, lunchbox movies in the same manner that they always come in. It's just not going to work. People will get bored a whole lot faster. That, you know, saturation or that fatigue will happen a whole lot sooner if you keep getting the same thing.
And by the way, I'm going to say this to the three friends who are in front of me and everyone on the internet that's listening right now. Please stop using that fucking term. Don't you say fatigue when it comes to movies, because you motherfuckers still going to see movies. Yeah. If you can't say, oh, I'm superhero fatigue, don't go see superhero movies, but you're still going to see a feed. If you get tired of fucking Fast and Furious movies, apparently fucking not. Say
are we at
it's,
eight now?
Say it's you're tired of the formula. I'm fine with that. But saying fatigue means you're, because not all of
them. It's like I said earlier, nobody says I'm tired of action movies. Nobody says I'm tired of suspense thrillers. Yeah. Fuck yourself. You're not tired of those movies. You saw a couple bad ones, and now you don't want to watch another one.
And again, to the point earlier, there's no such thing as oversaturation because we have not hit that point. Trust me.
Well, there really is just no such thing because it's a great big genre.
If you want to say this, comic books are definitely taking over Hollywood landscape, both big screen and small screen. I will agree with you completely. Because every fucking channel is scrambling to get something on, and they're doing it the wrong fucking way.
Yes, but who do you have to thank for that? The people that pay to go see them.
Well, yes, granted, that's why we still have Fast and Furious movies, but that's been my fucking problem the entire time. You guys keep fucking putting $1 billion in it. They're going to be like, we're making money still, so come on back, kids. Like, no matter what, I'm not going to say what I said last time. I'll leave that alone. But what I am saying, though, is once you get to, like, past the second set of trilogies, Yeah, I'm talking about Paul Walker dying in a fiery car crash. Once you get past the second set of trilogies, you should really, really try hard to change your formula enough to be the same but a little bit different. Like Star Wars, we're in our third trilogy, right?
That's correct.
I'll tell you right now, yes, it looks very much the same, but it looks way different.
And that's what makes it so intriguing.
And that's what, well, plus it doesn't have Jar Jar Binks, I think.
Thank God for that.
But which I'd be fine with, as long as he's like mounted on the wall somewhere.
Just his head.
You know, Kylo Ren's just sitting back like, got that one myself.
It's one of those like talking bass. Yeah,
like he's like, take the batteries out.
It's motion sensor. Yeah. So every time someone walks about it, you just hear Misa, Misa, Misa. Yeah, Misa.
And Kylo Ren's just laughing, and everyone's like, God, I fucking hate that thing. It's good times.
You realize, like Darth Vader would have liked Jar Jar. Like, you have to think about that.
In a way, but yeah. Also, like,
Darth Vader and Jar Jar was friends.
If anything, he would have been irrational about it. Like, well, oh, Padme was having sex with him, too. I'm going to get him. Because, like, that dude was super out
super
there.
Irrational so, at the end there, yeah.
I mean, he murdered kids. I mean, come on. Yeah. Hey, he didn't take no persuasion. He was like, hey, your first business? Go kill some kids. Cool, bro. I'll be right back.
Yep.
Murder, murder, murder,
that
murder.
You, is that
hey!
All you need? I could have done that mistake.
Jar Jar.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Yeah. Good like, to see ya.
Hey, I'm about to go and fuck up Obi-Wan. You want to come with me?
Yeah.
Oh, Misa got problems, sir. Misa in Senate now. Because he was in the fucking Senate.
That's really unfortunate.
And but that, sir, is politics in general.
If you didn't see all the guys in Senate, pretty much, were all mules.
E.T. was there.
Horrible.
Yep.
E.T. was there.
Yeah, buddy. Little secret for you. All right, kids, I think that's it for this week. We haven't wasted enough of your time, but we'll cut it now. So, yeah, that's it. We are Comes Naturally.
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. And our special guest was
Taj.
And as usual, everybody, you just came naturally.
Boom.
Bye.